For those who are married here today, when you got married, you were putting your trust in a person. It wasn't just facts and figures and history. Yes, you knew where your spouse was born. You knew all the life history, but you're not just trusting facts. You're putting your new confidence in a person. And when we become Christians, we enter into a new life relationship, trusting, resting in the Lord Jesus. And the whole Christian life is premised upon trusting in. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, British Columbia. I trust that today's word will be a word of salvation and of saving faith within your own heart. John chapter 3 is certainly one of the core sections of God's word that is vital to understand the gospel. You have a man coming to Jesus who is very religious. He has got many questions, and the Lord simply says to him, you need to be born from above. You need to be born again. And then he went on to talk about his own death, and the new birth comes by faith in the death of the Lord Jesus. It is then that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our hearts when we meet the Son of God at the cross of Calvary. And it is there when we come by faith as a sinner, we come acknowledging our bankrupt condition, and we surrender our all to put our complete trust in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, as our Savior. And of course, Nicodemus became a believer, and he became a wonderful witness for Christ later at the time of Jesus' death and resurrection, and that's what God calls us to be. And so I hope that you'll stay tuned with us right through the program today. We have a message in song toward the end, and we have this whole truth, this whole reality to set out, that we need faith in Jesus, the life giver, to give us eternal life. And that is my prayer for you. So stay tuned with us now as we turn to John chapter 3. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you will stay tuned right through to the end as we bring this message from the Bible today. My prayer is that God will speak directly to your heart from the pages of Scripture, that the Spirit of God who wrote the Word will write it upon your heart. Stay tuned now as we go to the pulpit ministry of our church here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, because on that cross, he's the one who laid down his life, a sinless life, an infinitely valuable life, that he would pour life into us who were dying due to sin. Indeed, on that cross, Jesus took our hell. The great mystery of the cross is God pouring out his wrath upon God. That is, God the Father pouring out his wrath upon God the Son, so that all the hell, all the fury of God for the broken law fell upon the Lord Jesus. And in the body of Jesus, he absorbed that wrath. Now, when you study all the sacrifices of the Bible, you will find how they were slain. The skin was torn off. Their parts were severed and placed on the grate to be burned. And that fire, the very fat of the animal, fueled the fire. And that offering was made, and the fire rose up, and the reek of the very smoke ascended to God as a sacrifice well-pleasing. When our Lord Jesus died on the cross, the fire of God's wrath fell upon Jesus. But it didn't fuel the fire. It exhausted the fire. It was totally put out. So that you can say, there's no more wrath for me. All the wrath, all the fire of God's anger's gone. And there is now peace. Peace. And we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, by trusting in him. There's another aspect to this I want to share with you, and that is that the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. Let's turn to Leviticus 17, verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17 and the verse 11. And here is the life principle of the sacrifice, pouring out its blood. And it says in this text, Leviticus 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so that's why the blood of Jesus was demanded. God was looking for blood so that the curse could be removed and that life could be granted. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement, or that brings peace, covering over sin for the soul. And the life is in the blood. And so as a Christian, the life that you have is only in the Lord Jesus, because only he had a sinless sacrifice. Only he could satisfy the wrath of God. Only his blood, being sinless blood, he being virgin born, virgin conceived, he having no sin, the blood that flowed out of his body was blood, life-giving blood, to bring the life of God into your very soul. And so we can find this life for our souls by going to the one whom the Father demanded blood. And Jesus paid it all. You have a relationship with God through the blood of Jesus. And the more that you live in contact with the blood of Christ, the more of that life flows into your heart. Let that be your joy today. Let that be your strength today. As a Christian, you will feel your weakness. You will feel your nothingness. You will feel your emptiness. But when you come by faith looking to the cross, looking to the sacrifice of Jesus, and looking to that blood that was poured out for you, you enjoy life. And the more you keep looking to the cross work of Christ, the more of his life you enjoy in your soul. And so I trust that you will not look to principles and methods, but keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Now, this life in Jesus is because it is offered by faith. It's offered by faith. John 3:16. I'm sticking with the text now. I know I can wander. I know I can get away out somewhere else, but I need to come back. I'm coming back to John 3:16. And you know the text. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, believeth in him. And here is now, this life is in Christ because it's by faith alone in the Lord Jesus. Now we know the context. He was speaking to Nicodemus, and he used that illustration of, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That is, the Son of Man must die on the cross. He must shed his blood. Why? Well, verse 14 tells us. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So it's an act of faith. It's an act of looking. It's an act of trusting. And I want to come to this trusting part, because you can actually have the faith of devils. Devils believe and tremble. Devils don't deny the facts of Jesus coming into the world. They don't deny the history of the cross. The devil's even better than the Muslims, because the devil believes in the cross. He trembles at the cross. The devil knows all about it, but he's not trusting in the cross or trusting in the person of the Lord Jesus. And when you read these verses, John 3:15, 16, Acts 16:31, where the Roman jailer cried out, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's believing his person. It's believing in the person. It's a human, it's a relationship with a person. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is not principles, it's a person. And you've got to put your faith, your confidence, your whole trust in a person. For those who are married here today, when you got married, you were putting your trust in a person. It wasn't just facts and figures and history. Yes, you knew where your spouse was born. You knew all the life history, but you're not just trusting facts. You're putting your new confidence in a person. And when we become Christians, we enter into a new life relationship, trusting, resting in the Lord Jesus. And the whole Christian life is premised upon trusting in, resting in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. Now, is he a sufficient Savior? Has he done enough? Has he done it all? Can he fulfill his promises? As he said to that woman at the well, he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. Now, as we keep drinking, we find the Lord keeps on providing. And this is the very nature of faith. It is to stand upon, to trust in. It is that personal, individual relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's the nature of faith. Believing in, believing on, trusting in, and resting your whole soul's salvation in the Lord Jesus. Now, I have a couple of examples here. I'm not sure if I can take time to use them all, but my first example is going to a dentist. Not a very happy day when you have to go and put yourself down on that chair, and the more that they turn that chair upside down, the worse it can be. But what are you doing? And when they get that plastic, what do they call it, matrix in your mouth, and they hook it and somewhere over here and this side and this side, and there you are, you can't say a word. And the drill starts up. Reminds me of the day I went to the dentist, and when I got in there, they were actually doing work on the building, and there was this Kango hammer going in the building, and it was like rat-a-tat-tat-tat on the concrete. And I said to the dentist, I hope that's not your drill. And when you lie there, you only come out as good as your dentist is. That's it. You had no part in it, because you led there. And if you can really relax, you might even fall asleep and just let it happen. That's what we do when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. It's nothing of me. I completely entrust my salvation to the person, the priestly work, the saving work of the Lord Jesus, that he will present me to the Father, redeemed and saved. The other example I have is very similar, really. It's just another example of the same point. It's like going through a surgery where you are completely anesthetized. And I'm not sure who you're putting most trust in, is the anesthetist or the surgeon. They both better be doing their job. But when they put you under surgery and you're out, and that doctor's got the scalpel in his hand, you have no idea what he's going to do with it. But you are entrusting in his name, his skill, his reputation, and his promise that he will fix the problem. That he will go in there and cut out what's wrong and patch up what's right, and allow the healing process to begin. He can't heal, he can only cut. But he can promise to do what you have requested. And you put your complete, absolute confidence in that surgeon. As a Christian, that's what you do. Because only the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross, shed his blood, and gives you the promise, he that believeth in me shall have everlasting life. And I've often thought of it this way: when I die and my body is laid in the grave, I have no part in my resurrection. I have to believe that Jesus will raise me up. And no matter where this body lies, if I be buried at sea or wherever the body rests, that on the day when the trump sounds and Christ returns, that he will raise us up. That's our confidence in the everlasting life which the Lord Jesus gives to his people. The last part, which I really preached recently, is the alternative to this, is perish. And you'll see in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, praise God. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And we're told that the wrath of God abideth on him. That's the alternative. That's the alternative. And so it is our faith in the Son. Think of the parable of the man who had a vineyard. He went on a long journey and he said to his husbandmen to keep the fruits of the vineyard at the harvest time, and he would return to receive them. While he was away for a long while, and on that journey, he sent a servant, the first one. And when the husbandmen saw the servant coming looking for the fruits, instead of handing over the fruit, they beat him and sent him away. And then there came a second servant, and he entered into the vineyard, and the husbandmen saw him, and they did exactly the same thing. They beat him, and they sent him away. And then the third servant appeared, and they beat him and sent him away. And then the owner of the vineyard said, I know what I'll do. I will send him my beloved son. They will reverence him. And so he entered the vineyard. And the husbandmen plotted and schemed. They said, here comes the heir. Let us kill him and take all the fruits to ourselves. And so the parable is to explain the horrible unbelief of those who will persecute the prophets and put to death the Lord Jesus. What did the Jews think of that parable? That's exactly what they did. That's exactly how it played out. They persecuted the prophets, the messengers whom the owner sent, and then they slew his son. And we're told that they who reject the son will perish. The owner sent an army to destroy them. And those who do not accept the son cannot be saved, cannot enjoy heaven, but they only have eternal hell. Do you believe today? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus? That's the question. That's what John 3:16 requires of us, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God for faith in the Lord Jesus. It's a gift. It's God-given. And you as a believer today must rejoice that the Lord has given you faith to lay hold of Christ and that you enjoy this life for all eternity with Christ in glory.
Sets the captive free, the only name through which I find salvation. No name on earth has meant so much to me. I've learned to know a name I highly treasure. Oh, how it thrills my spirit through and through. Oh, precious name, beyond degree or measure. Oh, wondrous name of him so kind and true. My heart is stirred whene'er I think of Jesus, that blessed name which sets the captive free, the only name through which I find salvation. No name on earth has meant so much to me. That name brings gladness to a soul in sorrow. It makes life shadows and its clouds depart. Brings strength in weakness for today, tomorrow. That name brings healing to an aching heart. My heart is stirred whene'er I think of Jesus. That blessed name which sets the captive free. The only name through which I find salvation. No name on earth has meant so much to me.
Let me ask you, what is it going to take to see you saved, to put your trust in the Lord Jesus? What is holding you back from becoming an out-and-out Christian, surrendered at the feet of Jesus to plead his salvation? No half measures, no half repentance, no looking back, but taking up the cross and resting in Christ as your Savior. That's what it's going to take. And you need to consider your latter end, that you need to be saved, you need to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and the only way to be right with God is full surrender at the cross. If I can be of any personal help, make sure you be in touch. Well, I hope that you have been blessed today through the message of the gospel. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I want to invite you along to our Easter Friday service here at our church, 4 p.m. on Easter Friday. That's this coming Friday, 4 p.m. here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We have our one-hour service followed by a church fellowship dinner. And this is an invitation to our radio listeners to join us. Perhaps you live a little bit of a distance away, and we'd love to have you, even on this special occasion, to come along, join with us here for our special service and fellowship meal to follow. So that's this coming Friday, 4 p.m. here at our church, and we extend this invitation. Just give us a call, give us an email, let us know you're coming if you're planning to join us with us for the meal. And of course, as ever, we'll be preaching the cross, Christ's death for sinners, God's way of saving sinners, and the message which the Holy Ghost will use to convert sinners. And I trust that you will know the way of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Now, of course, you can get all these details from our website at www.cloverdalefpc.ca, or Let the Bible Speak, just ltbs.ca. And so I trust that you'll continue to join with us at these times, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., also Sundays at 9:30. If you want literature or personal help, send us an email or give us a call at 604-576-1091. May the Lord bless you through His Word.